You are listening to Season 2, Episode 19 of Talk and Rock with GMH.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talk and Rock with GMH.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk rock. I'm your host, GMH, and thank you so much for tuning in. Real quick, before we get into the rest of the episode and the wonderful interview we have lined up with John Angus McDonald of The Trues, firstly, it would mean a lot to me if you could simply subscribe or follow the podcast, depending on where you're listening, just so that you are able to get notified when new episodes are released and when we have new awesome interviews like this one today. Now, it would also mean a lot to me if you could download this episode. That helps us more than you can imagine in the podcast world. And I appreciate all the support, just you checking this out. If you're a first-time listener, thank you so much, and welcome to the podcast. Well, it's that time of year. The Honest Heart Collective, who were on the show close to a year ago, have released their version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and it's a super cool rendition of it. They also did Run Rudolph Run last year, and it's got a super cool sound, and I recommend that you go check them out. And I just thought I'd give them a shout out because I saw that they did that new release, and they released a new album this year actually. But I thought I'd just shout out their Christmas music there. Now, before we get into the interview, it's time for the Song of the Week. Now, I was actually having more trouble than normal picking this week's Song of the Week. But I decided to settle on One of Us by Joan Osborne. Now, this is a song that I was introduced to a while ago, and it's the biggest hit by this artist, but I was giving it a listen today, and it's not necessarily the best put together song that you might have ever heard, but the lyrics are neat, and it's got like a super simple guitar riff at the beginning, but it's like effective, and it follows the overall melody, and I just think it's an amazing song altogether. Like, I always love hearing different aspects of music and instruments, and it just all coming together in one amazing sounding ensemble and piece like this one. So yeah, that's this week's Song of the Week. I won't keep you waiting any longer. Let's jump into this week's interview with John Angus McDonald of The Trues. Hey everyone, so today our special guest on the podcast is John Angus from The Trues. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. So firstly, congratulations on the release of your new album. How was that experience, you know, recording this new record?
How was the experience? It was unlike any other record we ever made, because we never recorded a record in a global pandemic before. So
right.
Made it a little bit unique. But you know, I mean, we were kind of, I guess, gifted with a little more time to work on it than we normally would have had. Mm-hmm. You know, I think our plan was to record the record in the spring of 2020 and have it out by the summer. And obviously none of that came to pass. So all the plans got pushed way down into the year. So we had a little more time to work on some more material. And probably half the record was material written in that time. So we wrote stuff that sort of beat the previous stuff we had planned on putting on. So in that sense, it was definitely unique. And then the sessions we did do, I mean, one of the sessions, you know, for three of the songs was done pre-pandemic, and the rest were all done during the pandemic. So we were working in little like windows of opportunity where studios would reopen and it was safe enough for small groups to gather and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. It was just very logistically challenging compared to all of our other records. But, you know, we're really happy with the result of it. So
yeah,
it's just definitely unique.
I personally love this one a lot and have been listening to it a lot since it was released. But I want to sort of go back to the beginning here and sort of work our way up to, I guess, where the band is now. But firstly, starting with you, when did you get started with music yourself, and how did you get interested in guitar?
Like in my life?
Yeah, in your life.
I don't really have memories like pre-music memories. I mean, it's just always been a part of my life. You know, yeah. I grew up in a musical household. You know, my dad was either playing piano or playing guitar all the time, and there was always a vinyl on the record player or a tape in the deck. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a lot of memories. Like I sort of came online, I think, already loving music. So it's always been a part of my life. The first instrument I picked up was the violin when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I played that for, you know, into my early teens. And I was a conservatory kid and I did recitals and all this kind of stuff. And I think I was okay at it. I've retained almost none of it because you have to keep up with it. But I think about 13, 14 years old, my dad bought my older brother, Colin, who's the singer in the band, a Washburn electric guitar at Hudson's Music in downtown St. John's, Newfoundland, where we were living at the time, and a shitty old Rock Tech amp. And he started teaching me, like he started learning some riffs of the music we were into at the time, like Guns N' Roses and Nirvana, Metallica, all that kind of stuff. It was that era.
Right.
And then once I got exposed to that, I there was just no turning back. I played guitar from that point forward, and I played it all the time.
Oh, that's awesome. And just because I don't know the full story, how did the band actually start in the first place?
Well, my family moved around a lot. You know, we were in Nova Scotia where I was born, but then we went to Newfoundland, and my dad took a contract with the University of the West Indies, which moved the whole family down to the Caribbean for a few years. And that was when I was in my early teens and Colin was in about his mid teens. And that's probably when we started playing music together for the first time. We would play house parties. We would just jam in the bedroom and learn cover songs that we liked. And right away, Colin was sort of interested in songwriting and trying to write songs and all that kind of stuff. So then we moved back to Nova Scotia, and that's when we started the band. So like around 1996, 97, and I was still pretty young. I was 15 when we decided to start playing, and it's still in high school. So officially we started playing as the group we are now under a different name about 1996, 97. And then we called ourselves One Eyed Trouser. We were just a local band. And we ended up moving away once we left high school and Colin left university. We moved away to Southern Ontario in about 2001 and have been sort of up here ever since. You know, within a couple of years of living in Ontario and really like concentrating on it, like really working on furthering our career, we had sort of, you know, got a toehold. You know, we met a manager and we met an agent and we had a record deal and we met our producer and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
that's the sort of most condensed version of it I can give you.
Yeah. Well, looking back to where you first started as a band, and you've released a lot of music since then, how do you feel you've progressed starting from, I guess, the beginning to coming to now, 2021, with this new album?
Well, I think if you go put on our first record, you know, right before listening to this one, I mean, you could kind of hear for yourself, you know, there's a huge difference, you know, I feel like you improve, you know, regardless of like whether you're like capturing the zeitgeist or whatever they call it, you know, I feel like we've just improved, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like we were pretty green, you know, like that first album was our first time in the studio and we didn't have any clue what we were doing. So, you know, the more you do it, the more you improve. I think we're much better performers than we were back then. And, you know, much better players and stronger songwriters. And I'm not trying to be immodest. I just think we've worked at it enough that we just know where our strengths lie, you know?
Yeah, that's totally fair. And I want to focus on, just for a quick second here, I want to focus on writing and writing as a band. Do you all write together? Or is there a specific writer in the band, or is it sort of when somebody has an idea, they bring it to the rest of the band? Like, is there?
Yeah, we write together and apart, you know, okay. Like our whole hard and fast rule is that we have no hard and fast rules, you know? So if Colin, you know, Colin was from the earliest days the most diligent writer. Like, he knew that if you wanted to be a serious band, you had to have your own songs. So he was very disciplined about writing all the time. And then everybody else sort of like found their way of doing it, you know, along the way. But you know, like, there, if a song is done and Colin brings it to us and it sounds like a done song, then we don't need to change it just for the sake of it. But that's the case sometimes. And other times, you know, somebody will bring something that's only partially done or needs work or needs, you know, contribution. And then we sort of chip away at it that way. So there's no one way we've always done things. We've always had a pretty open mind, and we write sometimes with co-writers that are outside of the band, and sometimes it's just us, and sometimes it's just one guy. At the end of the day, I think we know what makes for a good Trues song, you know, what makes for good Trues material, and we just sort of look for that.
Yeah, and we sort of spoke at the beginning about the fact that about how sort of the pandemic affected this new album. Do you feel like in the end, looking back at it overall, it's made the whole creative process, and do you think you got a better result in the end after the challenges, yet the time for creativity within the pandemic?
Do I think that having the extra time was helpful? Is that the question? Or?
Yeah, like, was having the extra time helpful in that time for more creativity, but still having to face like challenges of not necessarily being able to, you know, get together with, I guess, the rest of the band?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it just influenced. It influenced things as life always does, you know. So, I think certain songs were like directly influenced by what we were going through in the pandemic. Sounds like I want to play and can't afford to be lonely and stuff like that. So those wouldn't have been written at all if it hadn't been for living those experiences. But I mean, the pandemic was challenging for everybody, and I am, you know, I count myself lucky. I don't know anybody who got severely ill or passed away or anything like that. Then that's the real hardship of these times. But barring that, the other hardship is just like, you know, mental and just like losing your livelihood and life kind of overnight. You know, it was tough on all people in the arts and the music industry and the entertainment industry. And, you know, so there was major bummers, you know, about the whole time, but then there was silver linings, you know, like I mentioned, we had more time to write. We wrote songs about what we were going through, and those songs could never have been written under any other circumstances. So, you know, try to see the positives in what we just lived through, because there certainly were a lot of negatives.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, I want to play that you sort of brought that up. That song, I feel like I like that song a lot, actually, because the lyrics do apply to, I guess, this sort of time. And I feel like it was a uplifting song in a way for people going, all sorts of people going through these times. For that song, were you sort of expecting to have a finished product that reflects so much on this time?
No, we weren't. And like a lot of songs, you know, what do I want to say about that? Like we didn't really, the song started out as like a joke song, honestly. And sometimes the best stuff is like that, you know, like we basically were at this point where everything for our year had been canceled. This was like sometime in the summer of 2020.
Yeah.
And then the last thing we had on the books was we were going to go do the Holiday Train again, which we'd done a couple of years ago. It was a lot of fun. It was the only gig we had left that had yet to be canceled.
Right.
And that day we were together jamming, working on some material, and we got the call that it was going to cancel and it wouldn't happen in 2020 at all. So Colin just started joking around with this melody, like that went like, I want to get on a train in a global pandemic. And he was just kidding around, but you know, the rest of us heard it as like, yeah, that's catchy enough. Let's work on that. And we whipped it up in about 15 minutes. And you know, we had the structure of it and the chorus and the bridge and all that kind of stuff. And then Colin went and sort of woodshedded the lyrics with a co-writing buddy of his, a guy named Chris Kirby. And they wove this whole narrative of like, you know, not only is there a global pandemic, but it's also kind of a breakup song. So it's like a double pronged kind of blues song, but it has a great release to it. You know, I think that was the, And that release probably came from the fact that we all needed some kind of release at that point. So, so yeah, again, like it was very reflective of the times we were in, yeah. And whether other people related to it or not, I don't think we had that, you know, in our, we weren't thinking about that when we wrote it, but I certainly, that's your goal as a songwriter, is you want to hopefully make something that speaks to other people.
Yeah, for sure. And the music video for this song, I feel like it, what it did was only add to the song. I actually, it was an entertaining music video, but it sort of had to do with the whole story behind the song as well in different subtle areas. And this sort of ties into my next question. Do you have a specific music video that you guys filmed that was most memorable?
My favorite one is probably I Want to Play. And I'm not just saying that because it's the most recent. Like, we've done actually a more recent video called Permission, which is also really good. But like the most recent one is not always my favorite, but in this case, I Want to Play. I think just the story behind it.
Yeah.
You know, our drummer Chris suggested that we go play in an empty arena, which might speak to the times that we're in. And it all came together so just serendipitously, because we went and asked, you know, Cops Coliseum, like the big arena in Hamilton. Yeah. We asked them if we could use it, and they said, yeah, no problem. And they didn't charge us or anything. Like, they let us use it for free. And then we had to cast a janitor. So we called up our buddy, Bob Lamwa, who just happened to be free. And it all came together very, very last minute and serendipitously. And so I love the way it turned out. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, like the first time we ever saw one of our own videos on TV was like the Not Ready to Go video, which was like all done with green screen. And, you know, that was back in the days of Much Music. So I don't know if anything will take the place of like your first time seeing yourself on like national television. That was probably the most thrilling of all the videos for us. But as far as the quality, I think I Want to Play sort of takes the cake.
Mm-hmm. Now, this next question, I generally don't like to ask because it can be a difficult question, but I was talking to today at school, actually, I was talking to a teacher of mine who I knew was a huge, huge fan of The Trues, and he was telling me like a story of like a time where he and a bunch of other people like came on your tour bus or something. I don't know the whole story, but I asked him if, you know, he said he was interested and wanted to listen to this episode and he was excited to hear it. And he asked if I could ask this question at some point, whether it makes it into the episode or not. He wanted to know what your favorite Trues song is.
My favorite Trues song. Yes. What's your teacher's name? I'm just curious now who this might be.
His name's Brendan Burnell.
Okay. All right. The name doesn't ring a bell, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm terrible with names. But my favorite Trues song, I mean, I have like many favorites, you know, for different reasons. There's staples of the live show, like Tired of Waiting and Poor Old Broken Heart of Me, that I love just because they're great to play live. But as far as like my favorite songs that might be like lesser appreciated, there's a song called Where There's Love on our 2014 album, which I really, really like. Mm-hmm. And a song called Oblivion from the EP we did before that I really like. And I also want to mention something off the new record since it just came out. I mean, I think, you know, something like Faith and Fumes off the new record, I think is great. So yeah, I have different favorites for different reasons, but you know, as far as like naming something that's more obscure or lesser known, I would say those top would be my top three right now.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I would like to say I'm a newer Trues fan, as I sort of just wasn't necessarily part of an age group that listens to bands like The Trues, but I'm
You sound young.
I do, but I'm a
Are
big,
you young? Are you young or do you sound young?
I am, but I just wanted to say I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan of 90s Canadian rock, which sort of transferred me into other Canadian bands and sort of threw me at The Trues.
Oh no, sorry, that's just my computer was making noise.
No worries.
I'm back.
So
okay,
so, yeah, so sort of getting a look into other Canadian bands and then progressing to other ones, like even some heavier bands, but also returning back to sort of a raw sound like you guys, and I sort of fell in love with your sound as a band. And I've been a fan ever since. And I think the neat thing is you guys have lots of songs that people can relate to, especially this new record. I feel like lots of people can sort of relate to some of the lyrics, especially within these tough times we've been going to for the past while. So I sort of just want to like put that out there that, you know, I'm really impressed with this new record, and it's an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thanks, Greg. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Well, I just have one more quick question that I always save for the end. I'm curious, do you have any advice for musicians who are just getting started, either as a band or just want to get into more music? Any advice for those people?
My advice is to, like, you know, really focus on your music, like, you know, at first and foremost, you know, because there's so many other distractions now, way more than even when we started as a band, you know, in the late 90s, like when, yeah. Now there's just so much onus on how you present yourself on social media and how you network. And as much as all that stuff is kind of important, it's all a very, very distant second to how good your music is and how well you play and for live and all that stuff. So keep that stuff as your main priority. Like, the other stuff will come, and you can always hire business people to take care of some of that stuff for you down the line too. But I think you have to really focus on your work, you know, because that's the stuff that lasts. You know, at the end of the day, everything else comes and goes, and you know, viral this or this, you know, posting that, it's so secondary to the quality of your stuff. So so focus on that, and you can't go too far wrong.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that, and I appreciate that as well. Well, to wrap up, thank you so much for coming on the show. But before I let you go, where can people find your music, social media, all that sort of stuff?
Well, we tend to be at The Trues, like on Instagram. We're at The Trues and Twitter and TikTok and all that stuff. And then there's our website is thetruesmusic.com. I think we're the first return if you Google The Trues too. So it's TREWS. So there's lots of ways you can find us. And we are heading out on tour. I'm not sure when this is coming out, but the tour starts with some Ontario dates next week, but we're going to be out west, including Winnipeg, in early 2022.
All right. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast. Yeah, this meant a lot.
Okay, man. Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for checking out the new record.
Yeah, of course. Thank you all so, so much for tuning in. Thank you to John Angus McDonald from The Trues for coming on the show. This really meant a lot to me, as I'm a big fan, you know, of The Trues, and I hope you enjoyed that interview. Once again, if you can, please download this episode at the very least, or subscribe or follow this podcast. That helps a lot. You can find more information about the podcast at www.talkingrockpod.com. And yeah, I'll catch you all next time. Thank you all so, so much once again for tuning in. I'm your host, GMH, signing off.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talkin' Rock with GMH.